Welcome back, everybody, and you're listening to the Raw Knowledge Podcast with your host, as ever, myself, Alex Connor. And today I'm back with another talented guest. I'm joined by Taylor Victoria. Thank you for joining me this morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Thank you for having me as well.
Oh, my pleasure. I've got my orange juice. You've
nice.
Burnt your mouth on your long black, and yes. we're all ready to go, aren't we?
Yeah, we're pumped.
So I guess for the audience listening and watching, we met first on a networking event by a mutual friend. We were doing a little bit of a talk, and we got chatting, and you know, it sort of went from there. And you've got a lot of very, I think, insightful and valuable information to share. So
thank you.
I guess for people to paint a picture initially, you know, tell us who you are, what you do, and more importantly, why you do it.
Okay, amazing. Well, my name is Taylor Victoria. Who I am, what I do. I just love to have fun. That's the main thing that I like to do. In terms of, I guess, life and career, what I do is I run a virtual assistant agency called Outsource Monkey. So we pair international business owners with online experts in the Philippines to help with marketing, lead generation, content creation, a whole bunch of different tasks that you need done online. And why I do that is because I literally want to change the world. I want to, my vision with the company is to shift international economies towards collaborative business growth and work from home opportunities, because I truly believe when business owners can get support at a much more affordable rate, and when people in the Philippines, online experts in the Philippines, can work from home, everyone will live an extraordinary life. So that's who I am, what I do, and why I do it.
That's good. That's a great synopsis. And you're not wrong, though. I mean, at the end of the day, it's sort of like the whole maxim, no one wins the game alone, right?
Yeah.
The strength in numbers. And I think from a business perspective, it's always about a win-win-win, right? It can't be like a win-lose scenario.
Yeah.
And with that there, like, you know, that's one thing I was just thinking about. It's like everybody wins. Like everyone benefits from that scenario. I'd like to dive into a little bit more of the fruition and like the conception of the business. So perhaps maybe we could, you know, if we can take a time travel back and where this actually came from, you know, the inception of it and how it came about. I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah, sure. So the beginning of Outsource Monkey, it all started in a cold basement in Canberra. Myself and my boyfriend, we were both running different businesses at the time. So I was running a digital marketing agency. He was running a gutter guard installation company, which is very random, but he was working like crazy hours, like 10 to 12 hours a day, doing all of his admin, sales follow-ups, like outreach, lead generation, trying to create content, even though we had no idea how. And I was like, why don't you just get a VA to do all of this stuff? Like, because all of our staff members in our agency were from the Philippines. And he was like, what's a VA? And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to blow your mind. And so I told him about what a VA was and what they could do. And he went from working 12 hours a day to like 2 hours a day and started making six figures a month, like more money than he'd ever made before. And he was like, we should help other people do this. And I was like, yeah, okay, that sounds like a plan. And I wasn't super happy in my agency at the time, just because we were helping real estate agents in America to sell more houses, but I'm not super passionate about helping middle-aged men sell houses. So I was like, yeah, okay, let's start this other business. And then randomly, like 2 weeks later, my business partner in the agency was like, hey, I want to buy you out. I feel like you're not super passionate about this business anymore. And I was like, this is divine timing.
That is brilliant.
Yeah, I was like, I was planning to just leave without taking a payout, and then she paid me a whole bunch of money. So
that always helps when you're starting a business.
Exactly. So then that's how we started Outsource Monkey. And literally it's coming up to 2 years now. We have nearly 90 people in our team, which blows my mind on a daily basis. Damien has decided to go and start another business now because he just like starting businesses. So I'm running Outsource Monkey by myself, but not really by myself, because I have an amazing team. They're fantastic and they're going to help me change the world. So that's how we started.
Yeah. And you've got a, like you said, you've got the foundations, you've got a great team, systems and processes.
Yes.
As well, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's important to outline a definition here, because I know for me in the early days, like digital marketing, marketing in general, it's a big umbrella.
Yeah.
There's a lot under there. I know I've wasted a lot of time and money over the past, and it's not my area of expertise, but part of it I do like to do, right? Which might be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
So for people maybe listening, starting businesses or interested, you know, in obviously getting their business out, I mean, who isn't, right? Exposure. Yeah. First of all, what would be your definition of it? The best I've heard to date was basically telling a story so compelling that people want to listen to it.
Mm, I love that.
Which, yeah, it was by Philip DeBella, who was like, oh, I'm going to teach you 3 years of marketing in one lesson. It was some good stuff. But I'd like to know from your perspective, more the digital side of things, one, how you would define it to someone, and maybe some of the biggest things you've learned or advice you'd give in the early days for people who are starting a business who might not have that wealth to invest, you know, because it's sort of, you can waste a lot of time. Like you said, your boyfriend was down in the basement. He's, you know, he's doing this. And it's like, shit, like, where do you start? I mean, it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah.
But you need to do it. 100%. Because otherwise you're not going to build a business, especially in my area. Everyone wants to be an online coach, and it's like, well, the unglamorous fact is you got to be a good in-person coach, you then get credibility, and that's one of the main mediums, but obviously you need to be putting that online, so you know, it's the elephant in the room. So maybe you could speak on that a little bit.
Definitely. I guess in terms of a definition for digital marketing, I really think that it's just sharing your vision, sharing your story, sharing why you do what you do, and the transformation that you can help provide for people. If you share that and you're authentic with yourself and your story and how you help people, then customers are going to come to you naturally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an exact definition. I've never been asked that question before, actually. But so I don't have an exact definition of, I guess, how I would define digital marketing. But the other question you asked was, I guess, some tips and strategies for people if they're just starting out in business or they're just trying to start out with their digital marketing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main thing is, and something that we did in Outsource Monkey, which was different to my previous companies, is we took a very proactive approach with all of the marketing that we were doing. So literally reaching out to people and saying, hey, we could help transform this part of your business. Do you maybe need support with that? Instead of just waiting and taking a more passive approach and waiting for customers to come to you, if you actually proactively reach out to them with different strategies, whether it's Facebook ads or Instagram outreach or reaching out to people on LinkedIn or at networking events, whatever it is, but actually being more proactive about it, that's when people really start to see the results. Because a lot of the time, especially when you're starting out in business, you don't want to seem too salesy. You don't want to seem like the sleazy car salesman that's like just trying to sell your services. But what I always say to our customers is, don't think of it as sales, think of it as service. Because you are providing a service and you're helping your clients to achieve a certain transformation. They're struggling with whatever pain points and problems they have in their business right now, and you are the vehicle that's going to help them achieve their goals and help them achieve their transformation. So if you proactively share with people how you can help them, then you're going to find that you'll have a lot more leads, a lot more customers, and your digital marketing efforts will be you'll see the rewards of your digital marketing efforts a lot more if you're proactive instead of just passive and waiting for people to come to you.
It's a salient point, but that is, people don't understand that though. Like, that is the truth of the matter. It's very, I say unglamorous and anticlimactic, because people, I think what they think it takes versus what it is. Like you said, a lot of people think, oh, I'm just gonna, I've got this business, or I've got this shop front, or I post a picture and customers are going to come. It's like, the reality is you're going to have to do a lot of work, and you're actually going to have to go to people initially. I mean, sure, you get to a point where if your credibility really precedes you and your reputation, and that's really where everyone wants to get to. But in the early days, it is. It's about, like you said, outreach. And, you know, again, another really vivid point I want to sort of highlight is people are afraid. Because, yeah, I get it. You know, you do feel a bit salesy, but like you said, you can reframe it. And it's service, or it's actually I'm helping you. Obviously, if you come in with a, you know, a line and it is just sell, but it's sort of like, if you can offer someone value and they can see that over time, you can do it strategically, you can then obviously convert a percentage of that into paying clients and customers, because you're helping them, right? Which is probably 100%. Really key.
Yes. The main thing with marketing is really getting clear on your target audience's pain points, and then the transformation that you can provide for them, and painting yourself as the bridge that will get them from point A to point B. If you don't know the transformation that you provide for people, and if you can't speak to the target audience's pain points and what they're really struggling with at the moment, then if you can't do those things, essentially you don't really have a business, because at the end of the day, everyone just wants their problem solved, especially if you're in a service-based business. You need to figure out how to solve problems. So if you don't feel clear on the transformation you can provide to people, that is, It's just the main thing that you need to get clear on. Mm. Like, you have to know how you can help people, because if you don't know that and you can't tell that to people, then they're not going to want to work with you.
Mm. Which is gold. And I think a lot of people will rethink that.
Yeah.
Whether they're in the business now or starting one, or even people who are spending money on service or products, because ultimately you're right, we're solving problem, right?
Mm.
If you can find a problem and you can solve it, you've got a business.
Yeah.
As long as you can do that very clearly and absolutely where, like you said, a lot of people are very unclear on what they deliver.
Yeah.
I guess in my industry, it might be, okay, someone doesn't feel and look good and I can help you look and feel good. That's very vague, but that's kind of the consensus of it. But it's like, why? And then bridging that gap and showing credibility, which I think is really, really key.
Yeah, but you've even sort of taken it one level further. Like, when you were speaking at the event that we both spoke at, you said you help people look good, help people feel sexy naked or something like
look
that.
And feel good naked.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, damn, I want to look good. Like, I want to feel good naked, because especially for women, like, it's, I guess you've sort of touched on a point that a lot of us feel self-conscious about, just because of the way that we've been raised and media and social media and magazines and all of that sort of stuff. Mm. A lot of people feel self-conscious maybe when they are naked. So you sort of took it to that next step and really, I think with the way that you phrased that, understood what women in particular really do struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
It's feeling and looking good naked. And that's what you help people with. That's the transformation that you provide. And that's why it really stuck in my mind, is because it really clearly demonstrated what you help people with and the transformation that you provide. So for anyone listening, like, if you are starting out, or if you have your business, like, make sure that it's very clear the transformation you provide for people, because then it will stick in their mind and they will remember. Because I literally remember that line. Out of everything on the day, I was like, damn, Alex is going to help me look good naked. That's literally what you help people with.
It's funny you mentioned that, because there's been a lot of effort that's gone into that statement, because I thought about it, and men are like more visual, so I'm like, look, and women feel, like emotional. So it's like, look, feel, tapping into two. But also, so epiphany I had when I was working with a coach years ago, he goes, look, you know, everyone puts, you know, what's your job? A physique and nutrition specialist.
Mm.
Okay, well, great. Right? And then people put on the board their qualifications.
Yeah.
He's like, tell people what you actually do.
Mm.
I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you do that, but that's not what people come to you for.
Mm.
He's like, people come to you to move pain-free, look and feel better naked, right? Eat healthy. Like, and it sounds so simple.
Yeah.
It sounds so simple. Yeah. But like you said, it's key. And when someone says, what do you do? It's like, well, this is what I actually do. That's my job title.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it pricks people's ears up, because who doesn't want to look and feel good naked?
Yeah.
I mean, we all do, right?
Yeah.
So I guess, like you said, it's key to be able to make sure that you're aligned with that statement and what you can actually do for people.
Yeah, 100%. Totally.
Would love to talk about some of your biggest challenges starting out with Outsource Monkey. I think there's a lot to learn there, and people's struggles and tribulations. What are some of the obstacles that you had to face and overcome, and what were some of those learnings in the early days, or even still now?
Yeah, in the early days, it was learning to run a business with your boyfriend.
Very good.
So we were very fortunate that we both have very different areas of expertise in business. So mine is digital marketing, content creation, all that sort of, like, funnels, websites, online stuff, and his was very much sales, calling, follow-ups, like, and then business development and growth strategy sort of stuff. So we were very fortunate that we had our own sort of lanes, but we did start it during COVID. So we were locked down, we were working together, living together. It was like, we didn't see anyone else for like the first 10 months of the business, besides our family. So yeah, that was one of the challenges to begin with. Also just trying to figure out how to make yourself different, because, and I'm sure you've experienced this as a coach as well, like, there are a lot of coaches, there are a lot of virtual assistant agencies. It's like, okay, how do we make ourselves stand out? How do we make ourselves different, so that somebody does want to work with us? So trying to get really clear on what makes us unique, our USPs, all of that sort of stuff. And I think more recently, well, the next challenge also to do with my boyfriend, when he left the business, that was really challenging, because I went from having two of us to running the business, having very clearly defined roles, and then I had to do all of that stuff, and I was trying to do two full-time people's jobs with not enough hours in the day, and it was just so busy for the past few months. And so I really had to focus on getting clear about, okay, what were the roles that he was doing that I want somebody else to take over? And obviously I can't employ someone that's going to do all of those things, because as a CEO, you can do so many things, but if you try to replace that with other people, you might have to hire multiple people. So I had to hire maybe 4 to 5 people to fill all of the things that he was doing. Mm-hmm. But now that I have that team that's in place, I can do fun things like this, like not have to stress about the business burning down if I take a couple of hours off to go to record a podcast or speak at an event or do something like that. And the business has just been scaling so much more quickly. I think I let go of control a little bit because I literally just didn't have time to be micromanaging everything. Mm. And that's something I know that you're a little bit scared of in your business at the moment, is letting go of control.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. Like, once you actually can do that, the growth that you will see is just exponential, because even if you have somebody doing the job at 80 or 90% of the perfection rate that you would do it at least you're not still having to do those tasks, and they're done 80% to what you think is perfect, but you can focus your time on business development and growth or filming podcasts or whatever it is. So, I think that's definitely been the main challenge for this year, was when Damo left, it got so incredibly busy for me and it was very overwhelming. So just having to figure out how to build out the team to support me in the business so that it could keep growing.
Character building time when you're with your partner.
Yes.
But, I mean, even a lot of people in COVID, whether they were living with their flatmate or whether it was another family member, I mean, you spend so long in the vicinity with someone, you need some space.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that would have helped you grow a relationship and business-wise. And then, like you said, that is a key point. I actually wanted to touch on that next, was like letting go of control, because I'm a control freak.
Yeah.
And it's really hard when it's your baby and it's your thing. And like, I am a bit OCD and perfectionistic. But at the same time, it's like, well, you can't be a hypocrite, because if you're going to achieve something, not that perfection exists, it's an ideology, which is, you know, subjective. But you need to be able to go, right, well, what's the thing that I'm the best at, and where I enjoy and where my time is best spent versus all this other stuff? And then, like you said, putting a system and process in, getting a VA, getting someone to be able to do it, even if it's at 80%, it just frees up so much more time. But I think that's a shift in your mindset. I'm reading this book at the minute that a client gifted to me, and it's called Living a Good Life. And it's interesting because it talks about how, and this is probably going to tie in with what we'll talk about next, how things that are productive are actually counterproductive. And it used a couple of metaphors, and it got kind of me thinking about like the VA thing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So it said, for example, like, you know, the car, for example, it's much more efficient than walking, and it's much more efficient than horse and carriage. But actually, if you average the Ks out with everything in the bills, it's like a 3.7 Ks an hour with traffic lights and all this. And there's a formula. Yeah. And it's the same with your phone and TV. Yeah. It's actually a distraction.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck, this is a good point. So it said, in fact, sometimes it's the basic things that you need to do, i.e. like replace it, outsource it, don't like overcomplicate it, because sometimes it consumes more of your time.
Yeah.
So I guess with when it comes to like virtual assistants, and maybe we can talk about that a little more, people like you said, like your boyfriend who's like, oh, what's that? You know, obviously it's someone who assists you virtually.
Yeah.
But, you know, what are some of the key things to having that successful relationship? Obviously, this is where you come in with Outsource Monkey and help sort of bridge that gap, because a lot of people go, well, who do I go? Where do I go to? How do I know if the person's going to be good? Like, I'm exchanging money. Maybe we could talk through some of like the mechanistic sides of that.
Yeah.
But also maybe some things that help people kind of, you know, trust that process and let go, like myself, like going through this at the minute, but I know I'll do it. And I'll be like, oh, I should have done that like ages ago.
Yeah. I love that. Okay. So before I dive into like the best ways to get started with a VA, I just want to share something that I heard recently, which really, really was such an epiphany moment for me. I was at this event, and this lady, was interviewing this really, really successful entrepreneur, like a Fortune 500 company, the CEO of this business. And she walked in, and there was no paper on his desk, and there was nothing on his desk. And she was like, oh, don't you do any work, like making a joke about it. And he was like, I'm not paid to work, I'm paid to think. And I was like, oh my gosh, isn't that so, like, that really hit me, because especially when you are trying to grow your business, you're always doing.
Oh, yes.
You never actually just sit down and allow yourself time to think and plan. And well, I don't anyway. I've literally now since that scheduled it into my calendar, like thinking time every Friday, 2 hours thinking time.
It's true.
It's true. But I just thought that was it was just such a big mindset shift for me, because I was like, damn, okay, if I really want to change the world and get to the point where, like, achieve my vision, I can't just constantly be doing. I have to actually differentiate myself from everyone else in the team, and they get to do the doing and I get to focus on thinking. So that's just potentially for the audience listening, like a mindset shift that might help you is how can you focus more on actually thinking and planning and strategy and vision as opposed to doing in the business. And I guess that's where virtual assistants come in, because they can do a lot of that doing for you so that you do have extra time to think. So obviously, when you get started with a VA, or if you're thinking, maybe I need help and support in my business from a virtual assistant, the first thing I would ask everyone to do is to just audit your time. So throughout the week, go through and just write down everything that you do and how long it takes you. Maybe 30 minutes a day on emails, then content creation, then client calls, or whatever your business is, whatever it is that you do, audit your time. And then all of the things that you write down for the whole week, highlight the ones that make you feel distracted, stressed, like drain your energy, the things essentially that you hate doing, or that they're not your area of expertise. And those are obviously the things that we're going to look at outsourcing. So you'll be able to group them together into, I guess, common areas so that we can create job descriptions and create positions out of them essentially. So yeah, that's pretty much, I guess, the first step is looking at the tasks that you do need support with and putting them into common groups so that we can write out job descriptions. So that's something that we did with you when we were on the call. We sat down and we looked at, okay, what are some of the things that are taking the most amount of your time? And then we sort of strategized, okay, what role could we turn this into? Where do you need the most support in your business? Once you have the job description outlined, obviously you can either try and find the person yourself. There's lots of websites you could go through, Upwork, Fiverr, onlinejobs.ph, or you could work with an agency like us. It doesn't have to be us. If you want to work with us, then sure, I'm not going to complain. But
link in the bio.
Yeah, link in the description. But essentially, I guess the benefits of working with an agency is that we take care of the whole recruitment process for you. So especially if you're a time poor business owner, going through, like, if you maybe get 50 applications for a position, going through all of the applications, interviewing the top people, trying to decide on the best person to hire, that's a very timely process. And then if there are ever any issues with your VA or with the person that you hire, then you have to do that whole process again. Whereas when you work with an agency, well, we do the whole recruitment round again if there are ever any issues for free. I'm not sure if other agencies do it for free, but yeah, I guess it saves a lot of time when you work with an agency. And it just helps to streamline some of the management and the systems and the processes and everything like that. So for example, like, I've shared a lot of my systems and processes mm-hmm. with you. They are essentially like plug and play systems that you can just change a little bit and put into your business. Whereas if you tried to hire somebody yourself, you'd have to just try and make up all the systems in your head.
Like, figure all that out.
Exactly.
It's harder from scratch.
Yeah, it's definitely harder. And I guess as well, because like myself or even other virtual assistant agencies, we've been working with VAs for a long time. We know the best ways and the best systems and the processes and how to get the best success. So you can sort of lean on that knowledge and then set yourself up for success if you work with an agency like us. So yeah, I guess in terms of just overall summary, the first thing that you need to do is just get really clear on the job description. Then you do the whole recruiting process and then you hire somebody, and then we need like systems and processes to make sure they have the best success possible. Because essentially, particularly when you work with people online and they're not getting like in-person training from you, you need to make sure you have processes and ways of working outlined, because otherwise they're not going to know what to do. And it's going to be really hard for them to succeed in their job because there's no way for them to follow, and it's harder to learn in an online space. So
yeah, I think communication is really key. That is very clear. It kind of brings to mind a book I'm sure a lot of entrepreneurs are familiar with, The 4-Hour Workweek.
Yeah.
And he's going through, and I've read that book so many times.
Yeah.
And I think, again, take it with a grain. Take the good, but don't, because it can be quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
But, you know, that whole, like, write the email is like, do you understand? Like, write it back to me. Yes, it is. Yeah. But again, it's like you know, the great thing about going with a company like yourselves who's established, and I always say this in life, like, if there's something that you want to do or learn, invest in people or resources and just cut the waste.
Yeah.
I use a basic example, like, you know, I wanted to learn the piano. I had this knowledge. I'm like, okay, why don't I apply the same philosophy? So I'm going to find someone who's good at playing the piano, someone who's good at teaching. I'm going to invest my time and money. And therefore, I'm going to just my trajectory for success was just like, wow. I was like, actually, it's not, I mean, the hardest part is just then doing. Like, you just got to apply it, depending on what it is that you're doing. But I think, you know, a lot of people overlook that.
Yeah.
And they struggle. And if you actually add up the time and money that you struggle, you may as well have just invested that into, you know, a company, a person, a resource that could have actually saved you that time.
Yeah.
Unless it's something that you want to do. But even then, it's like, if you want to be a good coach, hire a good fucking coach.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
and then
learn what you need to do, because otherwise you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
And that's probably, one of the biggest mistakes, which might lead us to maybe some of the biggest mistakes and misconceptions you see a lot of business owners do when they come on board, or even like myself, you know, again, it's like, oh, wow, I probably need some more systems and processes for part of my business to be able to scale it.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's that service part where it's like, I need to be in front of the one-on-one. That's the creme de la creme. But I love that analogy that you were talking about before. And it reminds me of a time when I worked for Apple and a lot of top companies. It's very minimalistic. Now, it's not because of the aesthetic appeal. That's world class.
Yeah.
They don't mess around. Why have waste? I mean, mentally, physically, whatever it is, they just declutter their business and everything has a system and a process like you do with yourself. And you know, you walk into an Apple store, they don't have their name above the door. The logo is internationally recognized, and look at how clean their store is. And it's exemplified everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
Like I'll share this with you. When I used to work for Apple, the screens, every night you have a startup and an end team. They have different names for them, but basically they polish all the screens twice a day. They put them at a certain angle, which is not an angle that you want, so you have to touch the screen to interact with it. And there's so much psychology.
Crazy.
It's world class, because it's like you go to a good officer or a businessman, they shouldn't be paper everywhere. It should be streamlined, minimalistic. There should be almost nothing. Because, you know, that sort of space to think and grow, and a lot of people lose that. So if anything, it's kind of that whole maxim of less is more. Well, more is more, but is less more if it's more qualitative in nature.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you end up, and this is where a lot of people fail with business. It's not necessarily a lack of the business. It's just the growth.
Yeah.
They can't handle it, and they end up becoming a slave to their own business.
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about the sort of the biggest mistakes people make when they come to you, or even that you see a lot of business owners making. Maybe we can just dive into that a little bit. Just a quick one, guys, before we carry on with the podcast. For any of you who are interested in taking your health and physique to the next level, and you want to remove the guesswork, you're not quite getting the progress that you want, you're not seeing what you want to see in the mirror, and you're not feeling like you're really moving in the right direction, then click the link in the bio below, the apply button, where you can contact me. We can organize a free consultation, no obligation, and discover whether it's a good fit as coach and client. All right, back to it.
Yes, so it is definitely along the lines that you were just talking about with the systems and the processes. So a lot of the time, for example, we've had clients in the past, we've tried to encourage them to create systems and processes. They've said, no, I don't have time. I'll just teach them on the fly. And then when their VA gets started, it doesn't work out well after a couple of weeks. And then they're like, oh, I want to quit. My VA is terrible, blah, blah, blah. And I talk to the VA, and they're like, they haven't taught me properly what to, like, I don't actually understand what I'm supposed to do. And because they don't have systems and processes, it's like, okay, well, they didn't teach you. The VA has nothing to fall back on, to look at and rely on. So of course it's not going to work out well for anyone, because there's no actual...
They're not mind readers.
Exactly. Like they're in a different country. How are they supposed to know what to do? And I think the main thing, like, people... get so in their head about creating systems and processes and build it up to be this giant thing, when actually it's really easy. So if there's something that you're doing in your business more than once on a daily basis, just record the screen, record yourself doing it, talk to the screen while you do it and say, okay, we're going to be doing this process. Firstly, we go into this folder, I click here, I get this image, then I put it into this system and we do this. And then maybe I write the caption, and then this is the hashtags, and this is where we find the hashtags. Just record yourself working throughout the week, and then these videos will start to act as a training library, a training manual for your VA, so that they know the exact process that you follow. You don't have to have it all typed out, step one, step two, step three, in a document. It can just be training videos, because they're actually way easier for your...
For visual.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's way easier for someone to learn from a video than it is like step by steps with screenshots and all that sort of stuff. So I think that's the main mistake. People come into it thinking, oh no, it's going to take me 30 hours to create all of my SOP docs. And it's like, no, just literally record yourself while you work, and it's not going to take any extra time at all.
That's gold.
Yeah.
I actually been starting to do that anyway. Cause yeah. I'm like, I'd rather have and not need to need and not have, and exactly. just have it there, because I'm like, as and when I need to like outsource these roles or like yep. my Instagram. So I'm like, I kind of need to write the description for that. But I'm like, yeah, but everything else I don't, and I could pre-write those. And yeah, I think that's key. And like you said, we're visual, and that is the new age. I think a good example is a business plan. A business plan back in the day, oh, it's a fucking business. It's like a ball and chain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but really, now you look at a CV, one-page document, world-class.
Yeah.
Because it's like, just get to the point.
Mm.
But again, if you're, you know, working with someone overseas, visual. Like, if they actually see what they're doing, all they've got to do then is replicate it. And then yeah. obviously they'll have a few instructions, and then you can refine that over time. So
exactly.
And it's probably, I think that's actually a gold one, because I was in that same boat. And like I even said to you, communicate, I'm like, oh, fuck, I've got, it's going to take me all this time. And I'm like, maybe, once again, I'm a classic overthinker.
Yeah.
which I think is what I am, you know. And but I've constantly got to practice what I'm like, hang on, I need Kiss tattooed on my forehead, on my ribs, knuckles. Just like, keep it simple, stupid. Has to be my philosophy. Just because, again, it's always like, you know, come back.
Yeah.
Come back. It's like, I just keep drifting and I come back to the basics. You know what I mean? So
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of business owners are like that, though, especially when we work with a lot of creatives. So like photographers, videographers, and when you are creative, it's like your business is your way of editing your photos or your videos or whatever it is, or your style of shooting. So it's very hard to then outsource the editing, or because they feel like it's their baby, it's how they do it, and no one else can do it.
Yes.
But other people can do it. You just have to get over yourself.
Yeah.
And just allow yourself to give up control. And maybe for the first week, it's not going to be perfect, and you'll have to go in and give revisions. But if you give them live feedback and say, hey, this edit, it was great, but this is what I would have done, and just change it a little bit. If you do that with them, then they're obviously over time going to learn, okay, well, this is how I thought it was supposed to be. These are the revisions that are being given. And then they can apply that to everything moving forward. So it's definitely possible. It's literally just the business owner's own limitation in their mind about giving up control.
Yeah. And I think that's the key word there. You set a limit for yourself. Really, then, to me, it sounds like that everything is outsourceable.
Yes.
Every single thing, to the point where, like you said, you could just be doing the one primary thing that you do best.
Yep.
In your business, whatever that is for each individual.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love for you to give us a run for it, like a day in the life. Like, yeah. I love this question. I know people love it. So maybe walk us through a typical day, like from the moment you wake to the you know, the time you go to bed. What is generally the routine?
Yeah, sure. So I wake up in the morning and I go to F45.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go for a beach walk after that, or do a little meditation on the beach, depending on how I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Come home and shower, get ready. More recently, I actually have hired, well, I had an intern come over from the UK to work with me.
Yeah, how's he going?
Yeah, really good. So I've just hired him as my sales rep.
Yeah.
So he comes to our apartment. We have like a big dining table that we work out of as our office.
Yeah.
So he comes over at like 9. We work. He's mostly on all the sales calls now. I just focus on like the digital marketing, team building, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of making sure all the systems and the back end and everything is working in the business. And then in the afternoons, I don't really do that much, because I get pretty tired from throughout the day. So Archie leaves our apartment at like 5. Maybe I'll go for just a little walk again, have some dinner, and then If I'm honest, usually after dinner, I also do a little bit more work.
Just can't help yourself.
I can't because our vision is so big and I'm like, okay, I don't have time to wait. Like, I'm not a patient person. I want to achieve my goals like yesterday. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, if I work just maybe a little bit extra today, then maybe I'll achieve my goals a little bit faster. So I generally will do a little bit of work after dinner, maybe watch like one episode of Netflix just to relax and wind down, and then spooning and cuddles in bed, and then go to sleep.
What time do you usually get up, go to bed?
Go to bed at maybe like 9, 9:30, and I get up at 6.
Nice, yeah. That's good. That's reasonable as well.
Yes.
You're not like a 4 crack a dawn person.
No, I tried. I did when I was living in Bali. I did. It's so easy though in Bali because it gets light so early and it's just hot all the time. Like, it's not cold, especially here in winter at the moment. Like, it's actually cold and it gets pretty hard to wake up in the morning. But in Bali, it was so easy. So, yeah, here, no. Also, I think I'm just at a bit of a different stage in life. Like, where I do, when I was living in Bali, I didn't have a partner or anything. But now, like, I actually like lying in bed and cuddling and, like,
yeah.
Before I was like, I'm an independent woman. I don't need no man. Like, I don't need cuddles, all that sort of stuff. And now I'm like, oh, I actually like cuddles. Yeah. So
it's the human need.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like being in the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And doing the basics, right? Yeah. And even like getting up. One of the favorite parts of my day is I just love getting up and go for a walk.
Yeah.
And having my coffee.
Yeah.
I love that.
I know. And I'm you just always voice message me from the beach. I'm exactly. Like, oh, it looks so nice. Just
but it's like, you know, it's simple pleasures. And I thought, oh, you know, I wanted to do that. I mean, yeah, it sounds like who wouldn't want to walk on the beach? But it's like, it's not anything really extravagant.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads me to this. And I've mentioned this a few times in my podcast, but I want to just keep reiterating to people, like, people, you got to start with the end in mind.
Yeah.
In relation to like the goals. And I want to talk more about your vision in a moment about, you know, I say to people, imagine you've got everything that you want, but go get all your materialistic, get all that out of the way, get all the holidays out, get all that done, but then like literally think, like, what are your days going to look like? Because I think people, they never get to that bit.
Yeah.
They're just saying, oh, the holidays, the cars, this one. I'm like, yeah, but where then are you going to live? Who are you going to wake up with? Do you have an animal? Are you going to get up early? Are you going to get up late? Is it cold? Is it hot? And when you really kind of depict that, it actually really gives you an insight and going, okay, well, if that's what I want my life to look like, keep next bit, what are you willing to do to make it happen?
Yeah.
And what do you need to do? Because that kind of then gives you an insignia of what your job or your role might look like. Because if it's somewhere where you are working abroad or you're traveling, it's like, well, you probably need to work online unless you're speaking at events constantly, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of that whole like clue, like if you do want to work for yourself or you do want that kind of lifestyle, they might be like, well, is there a company that can do that you can work with? Or do you need like to have your own business? And I'm just really passionate about that because I don't think like everyone needs to have their own business. Like I'm a passionate person. You're a passionate person. We're go-getters. We're impatient. We want to make it happen. We've got a vision, you know. Some people don't. And I'm like, hey, like that's fine. But like you're kind of a hypocrite if people go, well, yeah, you want to do this, but you're not doing it. You know, it's like people like the idea of looking and feeling good, but when it comes down to it and I put them in a room full of mirrors, they're actually like, ah. I'm like, yeah, well, let's find out. Like, but either way, now you know maybe that's not for you. And if you do, this is what is required.
Yeah.
It's not glamorous. It's not magic. And it ain't going to happen itself. You know, and I think that's the same with business. Like people like the idea of it, but you and I both know.
It starts
with a pretty, you know, like people think, oh, you know, you're doing well now. I'm doing well now. Like there's more to go, but you've not seen that 10 years that's
came
and all the failures and the feedback, which has helped get us to where we are now. But
yes,
I would love to. And if you want to revisit that and if you've got anything to add, please do. But I did also want to ask you about, you know, you've mentioned kind of like where you want to take the vision of the business, but it's up to you if you kind of want to maybe talk about some of the tougher times and then maybe we can contrast that with where you want to go and what you're doing now.
Yeah, I do love, well, I don't love talking about the tough times, but there definitely were tough times and people, especially like this year in particular, everyone, oh, your business is doing so well. And I, because I've been speaking as well, so, oh, you're speaking on stages and like crazy, you're so successful. And I'm like,
and everyone wants to be your friend.
You haven't seen the past 7 years of like blood, sweat and tears and grinding and like no sleep. And like, just literally, even when I first moved to Bali, I started my first business. I had one client, I was making $600 a month and my rent alone in Bali was $700 a month. So like, I was $100 down a month from day one. I had to make it work. I was literally going to be homeless and sleeping on the beach in Bali. And so I was just at the co-working space every single day, like hustling so hard, trying to make it work. And everyone's like, oh, you live this crazy, fabulous, extravagant life in Bali. And I'm like, yeah, sure. No jokes. I was literally just in the co-working space the whole time, just working, trying to figure stuff out because I didn't have a plan B. I didn't have a backup plan of like, oh, my parents can give me money to fly home. No, like they couldn't give me money. No one could give me money. It was like, I make this work, I will be homeless. It's funny when you don't have a plan B, how you make plan A work because you have no other option. So yeah, it's definitely, it's been like six or seven years of solid grinding to now finally start to see success and feel more successful as well. So it has been crazy. But in terms of my vision, I guess, well, for Outsource Monkey, I have a very big vision, obviously, that I shared a little bit at the start. But for my life in general, I want to be a world-class speaker. That is just, I don't know why, that's just always been my vision for my life. I just want to speak on stages around the world and change people's lives. Because,
TED Talks.
Yes, TED Talks, like running like Tony Robbins level, but I'm like, okay, Tony Robbins started really early. Can I get to Tony Robbins level? But then I'm like, no, I can get to Tony Robbins level. I could definitely do that.
Because it's not like, I think sometimes we look at someone's path and go, oh, it kind of like needs to follow the same trajectory, but like, it doesn't.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You make your own path.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I want to be a world-class speaker because I think that's how I'll be able to help as many people as possible at one time. I really am very passionate about helping young people, I guess, escape the system or not follow the traditional path that we've been taught to follow of going to uni, getting a full-time job and then working for 50 years until you die. Like, that sounds fucking terrible.
While you're in debt.
Exactly, like paying off a huge loan. And so, yeah, I went to uni and I owe the government like $40,000 now. And it was the biggest waste of my time. Like I did communications and advertising and I got taught about newspapers and TV and radio and billboards and all of this stuff that is just not even relevant anymore at all. And now I owe the government 40 grand. And I'm like, well, that was a waste of my time. So I just want to help young people realize that they can actually do something that they love and that they're passionate about, and they don't have to just work for 50 years and then retire for 10 years on like a shitty pension or whatever it is. That's the big vision. I'm just trying to figure out how to make that happen. Obviously, I have Outsource Monkey and that's great at the moment for like my income and getting me to a certain point.
It's a
but
vehicle.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm literally in the process now of starting to plan out, okay, how can I start to do more of the other stuff on a daily basis? So recording my own podcasts and launching a YouTube channel again and starting to put that message out there for young people that you don't have to follow the traditional path. You can do what you want and be super successful at that. Don't listen to your parents, essentially.
Yeah, so be your own parent.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm at a very fun stage now where I'm literally starting to plan out, okay, what does this look like for me? Because I know I want to change people's lives. Mm-hmm. And now I'm just trying to figure out how I'm actually going to do that. So I know there'll be events, speaking, maybe courses, maybe going into schools. I don't know.
Networking.
I'm planning. Well. Yes. I love networking. So yes, that as well. Yeah. But yeah, I'm at a very exciting time where I'm just starting to plan it all out.
Incredibly inspirational stuff as well. I think, I'll jump back to the start there. You know, you talk about being in Bali. I think the fire is often more motivating than the feathers, meaning that, you know, when you are, it's like that parasympathetic versus sympathetic nervous. If you're being chased by a dog, you will get over that fence.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, right? Unless there's an impossible feat in front of you, you'll generally make it happen. Your body gives you more, you know, and sometimes that's what we need. And I think when we talk about business and starting, sometimes, you know, without being completely, you know, sort of, I'm trying to think of the word now, it's just left me, but you know, you've got to just go all in. You've got to dive in, because if you dip your toes in, you never fully know. And I know that's what happened with myself as well. It's like I always sort of dabbled, but it was only when I was like, you know what, I am fully willing to fail. Well, feedback, like failure feedback, right? I'm fully willing to, because it won't be as bad as I think.
Yeah.
All right. But 9 times out of 10, if you've got that sort of like, hey, like now we've got a real motivating factor here, because like you said, sleeping on the beach or being homeless, you know, from someone who's not from a third world country, that's that's pretty scary. Like that's a very, so like you get up and you just do what you've got to do.
Exactly. That's like I was saying before, in Bali, I was literally up at 5 a.m. every day. Like I was just hustling, and I was in such a hustle stage of my life. And that's why now that I have more money and my business is going better, I'm okay to like sleep in a little bit and, and spend time cuddling and doing cute things and all that sort of stuff, because I'm just at such a different stage in my life. And with the businesses as well. And I think that's something really important to share with the audience, is that you will go through hustle stages, and that's okay. It's not going to last for forever. It's not going to, you don't have to get up at 4 or 5 a.m. for your whole life. You could do it for 6 months or a year, and that's going to put you 3 or 4 years ahead of what you would normally be. But then after that year, you can chill out again. So I think it's very important to stress that as well, as if you're going through a hustle stage, it doesn't have to last for forever.
That is a really good point to really talk on, because you know, you hear a lot of people when they do business, and sometimes like, oh, who's done it worse? It's like, well, no, but we've all kind of gone through those periods. I remember a conversation with my uncle. He's in Italy, and he has a book company, and he makes all like stationery and books for a lot of the Italian schools. And he started with nothing, and he's grown, and he's got a massive empire. It's brilliant. But I actually spoke to him as an adult when I went back. I think it was last time, when it was now 20, early 20s anyway. And I said, oh, just out of interest, Tony, you know, like, what were you doing? You're like, when it started, and he was like sleeping on the floor of his business, and he was doing all this. And I'm like, oh, and I'm someone who I like to look at trends.
Yep.
From successful people, you know, when we say success, you know, in all holistic senses of the word. And there is a lot of things that they all have in common, which is like reading books, morning routines, you know, things like that, getting into state and going through these periods where it's like, hey, this is not forever. And if it was, that's not success. Because again, I think a successful business is a point where you can actually walk away, like we've talked about here, and everything flows, if not grows. You know, like that is the ultimate, because otherwise, like, are you really successful if you constantly have to do everything in your business? You're just a slave to it, and you're not actually enjoying life. So there comes a point where it's like, yeah, you know what, like, put that time and energy in, and maybe we're fortunate that we can do this at a younger stage and then have that freedom to still do what we love, travel the world, but have that opportunity. Or I think even the keyword here is choice. Like having the choice. Like for me, if someone said to me, you know, and I've often asked, what's the ultimate goal? Now I have obviously my business goal, and I have a big vision like yourself with Fearless Training, and I want to help people. I love that. But it's freedom. If I had to like summarize it, people are like, oh, but you are free. And I'm like, hey, Australia is one of the best places to live in the world. I don't think people know how lucky they've got it here, because it's such an easy life over here. Like, ridiculous, like to just wash dishes and get paid $25 an hour if you want. But hey, you know, I'm very grateful to be here. But also that fact where it's like doing what you want, when you want, how you want. And that's not necessarily going, well, I'm going out of my way to buy $1 million Lamborghini, but it's like, I like to go, oh, there's a Formula One race in 2 weeks, Taylor. Would you like to go? I'm going to go, oh, actually, Alex, I'm speaking at an event there. Let's go to the Formula One for a week and hang out all together. It's like, but knowing that you can do that, and you don't have to check my bank account, I'm going to have this date off work, that really annoys me.
Yeah.
When I last went back to Europe, was a real low point for me, because I was like really stressed out. I was really upset, because I'm like, I had like no money coming back to. And I was like, fuck, I've got to do this all again. I'm like, this is broken.
Yeah.
Even in the early days of personal training, I'm wandering around the gym at 17 years old, and I'm thinking, how do I keep doing this? Like, what happens when I'm 40 and I can't PT one-on-one? So back then I knew, that was before Instagram and all that, I was just like, there has to be another way. There has to be another way, because otherwise I'm going to work myself into the ground. And I think this is where, you know, now we have this online, we have this digital, we have systems and processes and scalability. And I think everything is scalable, but you've just got to kind of tweak it and adjust it a little bit as well. But I think, being able to give back and chat to people like you want to do, you know, you're a great speaker. I was inspired by your speech. I think you're well spoken, you're well articulated. I think you'll do really well in that space.
Thank you.
You know, with the having Outsource Monkey, like you said, even if it's like, hey, you know, that's one of the many accolades. I mean, you're part of starting a new business, interested to find out what that is. But just, you have this trajectory, right? But ultimately, it's like, what's that? Again, we've talked about it, reverse engineering. Like, start with the end in mind and be able to go forth. And like you said, it doesn't have to be any particular way.
Yeah.
You can write your own vision. But ultimately, I think if you keep trust, you trust the process, you take action, you align with your beliefs, I do believe it does come into fruition.
100%.
That's my belief.
I think if you are clear on what you want to achieve and you're relentless in your pursuit of that, there's no question about whether if it will happen, it's just when it will happen.
Uh-huh.
Like for me, I know I'm going to be a world-class speaker. I know that's going to happen. I know I'm going to change lives at scale. It's just about when. Like, is it going to be in the next 5 years or the next 10 years? Who knows? Like, I know it's happening. It's just about when. So I think if you are really determined and you do want to change people's lives or make a difference in the world, like, just decide that it's happening. And then just all you have to figure out is, like, when it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you have to figure out the how as well. But, like, you will figure that out over time.
Yes.
But if you know you want to do something, just decide you're going to do it, and then you'll figure everything out. It's just about when it will happen.
It's like being on that bus, and then just I always say, if you never give up, you can only succeed, because that's the law of averages, and that's just simple math. Like if you just, and I love the word you use, I use it a lot, relentless. Relentless consistency is like the two paradigms I like to give together. And I think I learned this from Chris Williams. Was another world-class speaker, came from nothing, owns nightclubs. Now he's got like a fucking Joe Rogan level podcast going on here, right?
Yeah, crazy.
Crazy guy. And, you know, he talks about how consistency wins out. And I think, again, you know, we can use that whole fable, the tortoise and the hare, but it's true. Like, if you just keep chipping away, and obviously, you know, you make these little micro adjustments and you're not banging your head against a wall, and even sometimes you've got to, like, you will get there.
Yeah.
Because if you don't give up, you will succeed. Eventually, door will open.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk about something that I've experienced, and I believe you had, and I think you kind of like touched on it before, which is like imposter syndrome, which is where you get this success and it sustains. And for me, I was always like, oh, I'm just waiting for someone to like wake up and all my clients to leave me and all this. And it sounds horrible. And you're like, what? You're so confident and you're getting results. Why would you ever think this?
Yeah.
It's self-sabotage.
Yeah.
But every person I've spoke to that's achieved something tangible in life, they've had this.
Mm.
So I wanted to ask you, have you had this? And how have you dealt with it? What have your experiences been with it?
Yes, definitely. I've had it. Especially when I first moved to Bali. I came from Canberra originally, and I had quite a sort of toxic family environment back in Canberra, unfortunately. So I was in Bali, like living my best life, doing my business, like just trying to build an empire. And my brothers and sisters were back in Canberra, and I was just feeling really guilty. Like, who am I to be running a business over in Bali, like living my best life when they're back in Canberra and they're struggling? And then when I started getting a lot of clients paying me, I was like, oh my gosh, like all these people are paying me. I don't even know what I'm doing. Like how are they paying me for all this stuff? Like, it was really bad at the start. And I guess the way that I overcame that, in terms of my family, I realized like I can't help my brothers and sisters if my cup's not full.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't try and fill up their cup from an empty cup.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big, I guess, realization for me. And then in terms of my clients and feeling like I had no idea what I was doing, I just focused so much on learning. Like in the first 2 or 3 years, I just watched every webinar, watched all the YouTube videos, downloaded every freebie. I think that's like every business owner though, but I just educated myself. I took a whole bunch of online courses so that I felt like I actually had the skills and the ability, I guess the credibility to be able to be paid by clients. But I think it, like everyone experiences it, every next level of success that you get to, it's like, whoa, am I, even at the moment, like our business is going so well. It's insane. Like we have 90 team members. We're making like 70K a month. And I'm like, how am I making $70,000 a month? Like a year ago or a year and a half ago, I didn't even used to make that much money in a year. And now we're making that every month. And I'm like, oh my God. And then I'm like, I don't have the right clothes to be this sort of person. I'm like, I'm not this, I need to be this like, I'm not the next level version of myself yet. I need to step up. And like, so I'm like, okay, I need new clothes. Like, cause it's funny. Like for me in my head, the clothes that I'm wearing is obviously a visual representation of who I am. And the clothes that I have are all like old clothes that I've had from the past few years. And I'm like, even these clothes don't feel in alignment with the version of myself that I'm becoming now. So it's very interesting, like just as self observations of like, I don't even feel like I want to wear the clothes that I have anymore, because I just feel like I've grown so much into this other person that I'm like, shit, I need a new wardrobe. Like, it's funny. It's just been so interesting to observe the changes in my mindset and how I'm like, okay, I need new clothes. Like, this apartment's not feeling good anymore. Like, it's just you, all areas of your life start to level up once your mindset levels up. So yeah,
it's true.
It's very interesting.
It is very, it's very exciting as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you have those shifts sometimes as well. And then you get to a point where you're like, oh no, like, no, no, I've got this.
Because yeah.
if you are doing continually great work for people and you're getting results, there's the credibility, the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah.
You know, and ultimately, I say this all the time, my industry is really cutthroat. All personal trainers are promoting one and the same thing.
Mm.
We are definitively slightly different, but ultimately, we're all there to improve someone's body composition.
Yeah.
Fact. How many people are doing it? Because if I went to a tattoo artist and I said, hey, thinking of coming to you, probably seen some pictures online, so I wouldn't even be there otherwise, but, you know, can you show me some of the work you've done? Because I'm into calligraphy or this, and apparently you do that. And they're like, and they point to a tattoo on their arm, and I'm like, oh, great, you did that. Oh, yeah, but what else? And they weren't starting off.
Mm.
I'd be concerned.
Mm.
But yet people every day pay money to trainers who get no results.
Yeah.
Right? Like, tangibly no results. Yeah, or, like, yeah. I feel a bit, oh, I don't care if you feel a little bit better. Like, I know this is savage, but show me.
Yeah.
Show me a portfolio of results. If you've been in the industry for years, show me. I want to see people's pictures. I want to hear testimonials. I want to read them. And this is, I've helped a lot of trainers build six-figure companies, and I'm not, that's not my role. I'm not a coach. Maybe I will. Or like yourself, I love to give back. But ultimately, it's like just the basics.
Yeah.
And being able to do that. So I think like when you get to that level and you're basically like, oh, actually, no, like I actually am delivering on what I say I'm delivering. Like time and again. And we're all learning. You know, we've all got to start somewhere. So if we're coaches or, you know, business owners listening, you know, start with something. But I would always offer, as soon as you can, get testimonials.
Mm.
Because that's one of the biggest things that you can actually use, but not only for your customers, but for yourself, because you will get those days where sometimes you feel a bit down and you second guess yourself. And you're like, hang on, like, why? Like, the writing's on the wall here.
Mm.
And then, like you said, that translates to, you know, your alignment of who you are and how you conduct yourself and whether that's the clothes you're wearing, you know. There's this metaphor that I read the other day, and it's about putting on the suit metaphorically every day.
Yeah.
And it's a metaphor, right?
By
your body language, it sounds like you know what I'm talking about. And I had a friend of mine, and she works from home. She's very successful, sort of works in law. And she goes, I put a suit on every day. And I said, and then I was about to ask why, and then I went, I think I know why. And I'm like, because it gets you in state, right? She's like, exactly, because I'm turning up. And a lot of the time, no one sees me, but she goes, I get up, I do my makeup, I put my suit on, I have my routine, I sit in my office, and I'm fucking in. And she's like, and when I'm in that suit, I'm a killer. I'm like, that's what I do. I'm like, and I love that. And, you know, we all have, you know, and it doesn't have to be a suit, it's a metaphor.
Yeah.
Like, but eventually, over time, you do need to align. I think Russell Brand talked a little bit about that back in the day as well, about, he said, I used to not sort of sound as I looked. And then as I sort of become more successful, it actually amalgamated together, because he's very eccentric. I love Russell Brand. You love him or you hate him, but I'm very much like that, and I get it. It's like you actually start to align with that over time. So that sort of, whether it's the physical or metaphorical outfit, I think is really key.
Yes.
And I love fashion too, which we'll talk about in a sec, because I actually have an interesting what came from the networking event, but we'll talk about that in a minute. I wanted to, I'm just keeping an eye on time.
Yeah.
Rapid fire questions. I think you really enjoy. I want to get some of those before my final question.
Yeah.
And my first one is, if I don't break the mic on my chest, and I think you'll like this one. If you could choose a superpower and you can make one up, what would it be and why?
Oh, I always say that I would love to fly, but I feel like that's so generic. Like, everyone wants to fly.
It's the most popular pet.
Everyone wants to fly.
Choose another one. But it is a good one.
I think if I actually could have a superpower, it would be to spread light and love. Like, everyone in my energy field would just feel full of light and love. Because I think the world needs more light and love, especially in the past 2 years. It's just been heavy. Like, the energy's just been heavy and dark, and the world just sort of been not that fun. It's been okay, but it hasn't been that fun, especially with lockdowns and stuff. So yeah, it would just be to spread light and love.
That'd be powerful. Be like a Care Bear. Remember Care Bear?
Yeah.
go. And you had like a special. Oh, no, I'm bringing it back now. I did watch The Killing Joke.
That makes us sound so old because that's a really old show, I'm pretty sure.
I have one. It's got a rainbow on its chest. It meant something different back then. Anyway, but yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they did. But that would be cool to kind of radiate that positive. Like you said, it has been a difficult few years and it's nice to be able to pay that forward and give people that value.
Yeah.
The second one would be if you've got a last meal, or we won't do that, it's depressing. You've got a favourite meal combination, right? And this is, and I'm a big foodie here, so I'm talking, you can have entree, main dessert, drink, like what's your go-to favourite, that's me, set.
Okay. I love food too. I hate cooking, but I love eating. I think, okay, so there's this Thai place in Canberra, it's called Kin Thai, and it is like, oh my God, if it was possible for your mouth to orgasm, every time I eat there, it's like a mouth orgasm. They have these chive and shallot dumplings for entree, and then like red curry duck and pad pre kin, which is like a pork and bean dish. We never get dessert, so maybe if I got dessert, I would have, what's my favorite dessert? Carrot cake with cream cheese icing.
Ooh.
Yeah, doesn't really go with Thai, but that's okay. We'll make it work.
Whatever it is, it's
decadent. I just love Asian food, any Asian food, and I'm happy.
Yeah. You know you're serious about food when you describe it as a food orgasm. I do that. I'm like, just give me a minute. It's one of the beauties of life.
Oh,
you know, it's 100%. Like when we talk, you know, when that question, we go, oh, you know, if you could choose a sense to lose, what would it be? I'm like, well, it wouldn't be the olfactory system. Because it would just literally ruin things.
I know.
And we take so those bad things for granted.
Yeah.
It's times like that.
Mm.
My last rapid fire question is, if you had to give someone a tip or advise people to do a habit or something every day, a task, to improve their life, like right now, that anyone could do for free, what would it be?
Exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just saying that because it's you.
Did not pay
you
to say that.
He didn't pay me to say that. No, honestly, like, I'm very fortunate that my mum raised us to exercise regularly on a daily basis. And so it's just, it's not even a thing that I have to think about. It's like not even like a decision that I have to make when I wake up. It's like I wake up and I exercise just because that's what I do. Like I go to F45 or I go for a beach walk or whatever. But it's like that time, one, it's good for your body. It gets your endorphins going. It's like a natural coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's just so good for your body to move it every single day. Even if you don't sweat every day, like you can still go for a walk and maybe you don't get sweaty, but it's still just so good for your body every single day. And I think especially that the younger generations at the moment, like a lot of them are struggling with anxiety and depression and like a lot of mental health issues. And the best cure for that is to exercise and get your happy endorphins going. So exercise is my number one tip.
Mm-hmm. It becomes just like breathing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you can wake up in the morning and smash out a solid workout, you can do anything in the day.
Because
you've already smashed out your workout, you're feeling good, you've got the positive vibes going. You can do anything. So, that's true. Yeah,
I'm a big fan. You start there with a win.
Exactly.
Well. And then it's like you've served yourself, which you mentioned before. You fill your own cup up.
Yep.
You get the feel good endorphins. Irony, you know, you expend energy, gives you energy. And then you're like, right, now everything else is a win.
Mm.
I've got this.
Exactly.
You've got the trajectory.
Yeah.
My last question, a bit more serious in nature. We've touched on a few of these things to a degree, but maybe you can pick out one or two or a current one, which is, can you identify a fear that you currently got or had in your life, what it is, and how you've overcome it, or if it is something you're still working through, how you've overcame it. Now, yours isn't going to be the most popular one, which is public speaking, because I know you love that.
Yeah,
but I am interested to know. And it can be something small, it can be something large, it's whatever it means to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so two things popped to mind when you first said that, because I'm somebody that, like, I don't really get scared of many things. Like, like you said, I love public speaking. I'm not scared to be in front of people. I'm not scared to try new things. Although recently I did my first ever ice bath and I was like, I was looking at the ice and just standing there going, I really, really do not want to do this at all. Like I had so much resistance and I was like, this is so interesting. I haven't felt this feeling in a really, really, really long time. But then I did it and it was fine. The other thing that came to mind, and this is something that I have not overcome yet. It's a work in progress. But actually, it relates back to what you do. So I have this limiting belief that I, and this is a weird thing to share on a podcast, so I'm being really vulnerable, guys. I have this limiting belief that I'm not sexy. Like, I don't know how to, I just don't feel like a sexy person. I'm like just a fun, happy person. And so I got invited recently to go to like a pole dancing class or like a heels, like a burlesque dance class as well. And I was like, no, like it. And it was so weird because I rarely get resistance that comes up to things. I'm like, yes, I'll try anything. Yeah, but then these classes where I like had to act a bit sexy, I was like, no, it's okay. I'm not going to do that one. So that was literally a few weeks ago. And I was like, this is interesting. I think I need to work on this because I didn't realize that it was a thing that I thought about myself until I got invited to these classes. And then I was like, no, I can't do those classes. And then I was like, why can't I do those classes? And I was thinking about it. And I came to the realization that I don't, it's like literally an identity thing for me. I don't identify as like a sexy person. So I'm like, I can't dance sexy because I'm not a sexy person. It was weird. But that one's definitely a work in progress. It's only been a recent realization that I might have to force myself to go to some like pole dancing classes or something to try and... I'm very much like if I'm scared of something, I just do it anyway. Like
Is the best way to...
Oh, yeah.
You want to attack fear. You don't want to run from it.
Yeah.
Because you feed... Time feeds fear.
100%. I had a fear of the feeling of falling. So I went skydiving. Like, that's my sort of solution to these problems. So
that is the best way. And it's the hardest but the easiest thing to do.
It was the most terrifying thing I've ever done in my whole entire life. Holy shit.
Did you enjoy it at some point?
Yes. It was... like afterwards it was fun. I was like, oh my god, that was amazing. But during I was like, I'm gonna die, like literally had my hands on the edge of the helicopter like trying to stop the guy from letting me in. He had to like peel my fingers away from the edge of the helicopter and throw me out because I was so terrified. That I was like, I'm not going.
But it's your body resisting the mind.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, it was so terrifying.
Which is a natural reaction, by the way. Yeah, because your body doesn't know that there's a parachute. Yeah. So it's like, this is not what we do. Don't jump out of the plane. Yeah. It's an inbuilt mechanism not to die. You see the tiger, you run.
Exactly. Yeah, but then like I did it and it was one of the best experiences of my life because we did it in the Swiss Alps when we were in Europe. So like jumping out of a helicopter over the Swiss Alps, like it was just incredible.
That is amazing. So that would have been breathtaking.
It definitely was. Yeah. Yes, in both regards. So yeah, I'm definitely the sort of person that tries to just dive into anything that I'm scared of and just overcome it.
And that kind of fuels that the philosophy that everything that you desire is on the opposite side of fear, which is very true. And I appreciate you being vulnerable as well about that, because I think that's what a lot of people do struggle, men and women, unbeknownst that men will never admit it, but we all want to feel a bit sexy, sassy, attractive, you know, whatever that means. And that's not even just in the sexual sense, that's just like the premise.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like you look good, you feel good, you feel good, you look good. It's a two-way street there, but sometimes it's not the look as well, right? It's the internal feeling. And I use a really good metaphor for everyone. We've all met individuals who are just, sometimes you're like, this person is really attractive, and visually they're not your quote-unquote type, or you know, just cast your mind back, everyone listening, watching, like you know it, and you're like, this person just has something about them. Now obviously that's individual, but it's an inner confidence, and I think confidence is sexy, and you've got confidence. 100%. So therefore you can be sexy, right?
Yeah.
And everyone can. But remember, it is also subjective.
Yeah.
But you have to feel that first, I think. And that's kind of that backward concept, right? It's like, you know, serve yourself before you serve others. You've got to work on it yourself and feel that way. And then go, okay, well, what does that feel and look like to me?
Yeah.
You know, you can put someone in the best looking clothes in the world, but they still might not feel it. You know, it has to become internal from external. And I think doing these classes, like, they can really help. Breathing workshops. I have a lot of friends who do this sort of stuff as well. So I can definitely refer you onto that. But ultimately it's about getting out of your comfort zone and then getting that inner confidence and getting to a place where you feel it. And
exactly.
Then everyone else will feel it. It's like with your speaking now, it's like, you know, you're confident. You can speak on good things. You understand the value of your words. Therefore people do around you. And if they don't, fuck them.
Exactly.
And that's kind of like being sexy, you know, like, and we've seen, there's a lot of movies out there that like really portray that, and it's kind of that whole carefree. It's not necessarily disrespectful, but it's like I believe it. I think the best one I've watched lately, and it actually brought a tear to my eye, eyes, and it was really inspirational, which was Queen. And I should have watched it when it first came out. My mum and dad's like, you've got to watch it, you've got to watch it. And I'm a big metal fan and rock fan. And I just love how he was depicted, Freddie Mercury, but he was so ingrained in his belief.
Mm-hmm.
And that for me was powerful. And what I took out of that is, if you've got a vision and a passion, no, go with it.
You know
when to disagree and go, no, this is the way I want it. Mm. Yes, it might be breaking the mold, but this is going to work. I know this is going to work. This is a thing. People are going to want this, and I believe in it, and therefore other people will. So I think there is that internal power of that vision, which can really, really transcend. But
yes,
that's my two cents on the matter.
Yes. I actually just redid my screensavers on my phone and my laptop of like the next level version of myself, what I'm manifesting. And there's a few sexy pictures in there. So
there you go.
I'm manifesting. It's going to come. It's going
to
happen.
And it is important, you know what I mean, to like have that as well.
Yeah.
Like constantly building the internal and the external, because it all obviously all helps.
Yeah.
And I think like visual images are great. Like I used to have a vision board, but now it's on my laptop vision board consistently in my subconscious. So if you can, like you said, and I always say to the females that I coach, I'm like, if there is a physique or a person, and it might not be the person in general, it might be what they represent, like we'll forget who it is, like unless it is, but it might be like, what do they like embody? And it might be like, okay, you like that look, but that presence, that confidence, this kind of, you know, combination and then go, okay, well, how can you take from that and then make it your own?
Yeah.
And then you come up with the best version for yourself. So
yeah,
I think that's 100%. A really powerful tool as well.
Love that.
For the people watching and listening who want to know more, or they want to reach out, they want to get some assistance from yourself, they might want to chat to you, they might want to, you know, employ your service with Outsource Monkey.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the best places for them to go and reach out?
Yeah, so if you want to find Outsource Monkey, you can just Google outsourcemonkey.com.au or outsource_monkey on all the social platforms. If you'd like to follow my personal Instagram account as well, it's taylor.victoria with two A's at the end because one A was already taken. So taylor.victoria or outsource_monkey.
That's
where we're at.
And it's always the same with the Instagram handles.
Yeah.
It's just, you got to do what you got to do. As always, for everyone watching and listening, I will put those links in the description, in the show notes below. As always, guys, you already know, like, comment, subscribe, importantly, share, pay it forward. Someone who will get a lot of value out of this. I know you know it. So at least one person, guys, literally one or three people, you can do it. Helps the channel grow. And that's why we're all here to share the knowledge. So Taylor, I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for your knowledge.
No worries.
Sure there'll be more. And guys, until the next episode, as always, you know it, we've talked about it. Stay fearless.
For those of you who are confused, frustrated, and sick and tired of not seeing the results that you want or deserve, make sure that you click the Apply for Coaching button in the description below and line up a completely free consultation with myself where we can discover if it's a good fit as client and coach, and take your health and physique to the next level once and for all.